Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned in to The Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and I will now turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, how are you, Terry?
Doing great. Doing great.
Good to see you tonight. You know what, Terry? I'm trying to go live on this, and now it says it's trying to go live. I think I lost it.
Again?
Yeah, it's okay. Let's try this again. Okay. Hey, anyway, it's good to have you guys here tonight. This is Pastor Steve Whitaker at Community Christian Fellowship. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. We would love to have you come visit us. We're a family-friendly, great church. You know, I was so excited last Sunday. I was in the pulpit. I was looking out at the congregation, and I started counting newborns. And that there were at least four newborns out in the congregation. And that's exciting because, you know, that's the lifeblood of the church. It really is. When we have the young people out there. And it's just a really, really, really great thing.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really nice.
So how's your week been?
Busy.
Yeah, you guys had the anniversary show last night.
Yeah, we did.
And I missed it.
Yeah, I missed it. Things come up. But, yeah, I think we counted we had about 19 people here.
So, seriously?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I got called away. Had a meeting at the fire department.
Okay.
And asked some pretty important stuff.
Sure.
People think that firemen and EMTs only go out on calls, on fire calls or emergency runs, but there's so much more stuff they're active in the community in. Mm-hmm. And helping people to understand dangers and different things, to health issues, to understanding the people in the community that may have a health issue that you might have to go on a run on. We have to understand who we're going to see. And that's one thing nice about being in a smaller community mm-hmm. versus a big city. We can find out the people in our local community and area that have specific needs so that when we get there, we're prepared for what we're going to run into. In many cases, and which we run into that a lot, especially with the elderly mm-hmm. or kids with disabilities. Last night we had a family come with a little girl with a disability and explain that and what we would get into possibly with her. And, you know, it's nice to be able to do those things. Another thing huge our department does is they do Safety Village with the schools mm. where they go in and they teach the kindergarten classes about bicycle safety and stranger danger, and we have a smokehouse that kids can go in and learn to crawl on the bottom when we let the artificial smoke in, and uh-huh. you know, the fog, it basically what it is, and just so many different things they do. We have an open house once a year at our department at Battle Run, and kids can come in and get information. We do things, we give people Tot Finder stickers, which that's so important, you know, to have a Tot Finder sticker on your windows facing outside of the windows where your kids are at, because if something happens you can't get to them, we know where to go in at. And that's a very important thing to have. Also smoke alarms. Hey, do you know that there's a program with Red Cross, excuse me. The Red Cross will come into your home and put smoke alarms in your home at no cost to you. All you have to do is call them and set up the appointment. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And they come in and they look at the size and where they need to be, and they place them in your home. They come with they're batteried, but it comes with a 10-year don't mess with battery. If you try to mess with a smoke alarm, you'll break it. So they're good for 10 solid years. They put them up, you don't touch them. And, 10 years, you know, you get them replaced. But there's no reason that anyone today can't have smoke alarms in their house. It's just so, so important. So this is the pastor spot. So I guess I better talk about some pastor stuff, which all this stuff kind of is, you know.
Sure.
And I talked last week a little bit about standing in the gap. For those people that are on one side and bringing them over to understand the joys of knowing Christ and lifting them up out of despair many times. I thought a lot of that on that this week. And, you know, there's so many people, and I would say the majority of people, choose to keep their head in the sand. And maybe they don't even know they're putting it in the sand. But if you talk to people about most things. They're not even aware of a lot is going on in the world today. They live within their realm of what they do, what they want to do, where they go, those kind of things. And they don't really think about it. You have to get, I like to call it, and you've heard me call it before, you have to get some skin in the game. And I think that as citizens in this country, I think we need to have skin in the game. I know as Christians, we definitely do, because we're called to. You know, we're called to be salt and light. What does that mean? Well, salt is what flavors the world, and light illuminates it. And that's what is meant by that. And, you know, to just go on and do our thing and not worry about, well, you know, I don't really care about what happens in the world, what's happening with our young people, I'm going to be dead in 10 years, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, I live in my little burg over here and everything's hunky-dory here, I could care less about anywhere else. You know, that's not a very wise way to be. It's kind of like not wanting to know what's going on until doomsday hits, and then it sneaks up and bites you. And some people say, well, bad things are going to happen anyway, why should I go looking for them? And I don't think we should go looking for them, but I think we should do all that we can to prevent them. And, you know, that's so very important. If we can help someone find a job or get to a job that needs one, do it. But don't do it every time they quit the job. You see what I mean? Let them understand that, you know what, I'm helping you. I'm giving you a foot up. Please don't make me put it somewhere else. Because, you know, I'm not going to keep doing this over and over again because you get a whim to walk out on a job. You know, people used to keep jobs. We got some great jobs in Marion, too. I know the, the tank company. Oh, my word. This is the hub for the U.S. for rebuilding oil tankers. And a lot of people don't know that, but they're hiring constantly, and their wages are unbelievably good.
You know what, Pastor? I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. I said, I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime. In the 80s, I know it was unheard of. I mean, like, right now you drive by, like, PPG, and they're begging for people, $20-some dollars an hour. In the 80s, I know people used to kill for those kind of jobs, and you would rarely see these factories hiring. You know, now it seems like it's nothing, you know. I mean,
this tank company's paying between 25 and 30 plus an hour.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's you 25 years ago would have never, you know.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. If I was a young person to get a job like that and say, oh, I don't have transportation, really, let me tell you something. I'd go over there and park in the parking lot and use the Motomart as my facility stop and live in the back of my car till I got on my feet. I mean, honestly, I just cannot understand the thinking today. Yeah. I think that one of the problems we're running into is we are holding people up from the bottom. And that's not always a good thing. Nobody wants their kids, their relatives, anyone to hit rock bottom. But honestly, Terry, sometimes the only way people will finally get their act together is to feel rock bottom. And you know, when we keep them, when they keep them floating all the time, you're just keeping them in a place of perpetual despair and non-productiveness. Because, well, they're going to get thrown out of their house. I better go pay their rent. You know, they're going to get the utilities shut off. You know what really gets me is that, you know, this time of year we're kind of past the tax season now. But through earned income credit, a lot of families get a pretty large earned income credit check that comes back this time of year that aren't people that actually have to, are in a tax bracket to pay taxes, but they get a sizable amount back. And I'll find out a month later they're asking people for help with their utilities. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, what did you do with that $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 check that you got last month? Well, that's our check that we get once a year to live like everyone else does. And
or vacation or something.
And I think people get confused sometimes about how everyone else lives. You know, a lot of us are in that middle category where you struggle with health care, you struggle with affording your medicines, you struggle with all these things, and we don't get the benefits of some of the people that don't do anything. And it's kind of difficult. But, you know, we all need to be plugging into each other, I think, more, getting more involved and having people be more aware, especially in in the area of life choices, in the area of what we do with our life. I see so many people today that just have no clue. I know when I grew up, most of the time, you did a one of two things. Either you left for a four-year school, you went to a two-year school and stayed home, or you went and got a job in a factory. And that was basically the three choices most people had. Nobody stayed at home and did nothing, because mom and dad put your bottom on the street. And, you know, we had a pretty productive society. And it's fine. Whichever one of those you choose is fine. Me personally, I'm not a factory person. I couldn't. I would lose my marbles in a factory. But I've done some awfully hard work that there's people in the factory that would never do. I mean, some people. I mean, I'm sure there are. But I have done some of the hardest jobs on. One of my early jobs as a young person was tending for a brick mason, and that was doing chimneys in Muirfield. And those were some tall houses. And I had to stock all the brick and mix all the mortar and keep water coming to them. And that's hard work. I hung drywall a lot as a young person. None of those are easy jobs, but they paid. And I was there. And I needed to be. And I think that kids just quit jobs too easy today. And, you know, they work 2-3 weeks. I don't like this. And they quit. And mom and dad say, well, you better start looking again. No. You know what? I knew better than quitting, because mom wasn't going to let me back in the door. I mean, honestly, once I was out, it was, you know, unless it's some major catastrophe that no one saw, you're not coming back in the house, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, even in nature, we see how God has provided, you know, there are some birds that eventually just take their beak and kick the bird right out of the nest. Look, you got to learn to fly because you're big enough to fly. Get out of here. Animals chase their young off when they get a certain age. Time to go. And that's just the way it's meant to be. Parents are there for parenting, and parenting should stop when you're done nurturing them and they're ready to step out on their own. But we don't seem to be there today too awfully much. Too many kids are taking way too much advantage of their parents. I think it's sad the amount of grandparents that are raising their grandchildren. You met Frank that was on the show with me, my friend Frank.
Yeah.
You know, Frank was doing a program where he worked. They were doing a program called, it was a program to encourage and help grandparents that were raising their grandchildren. And he put this blog up for it on a website for people to sign on to it that were going to come. And he told me within one day he had 150 hits on it from people wanting to come to this program. Now, that's scary. You know, I'll be honest with you. I love my grandkids, and they're at my house all the time. But I'm not raising them. I mean, I would in an emergency if I needed to. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, if something happened to my kids or whatever. But you know, I'm not going to raise kids.
It's funny you say that. My dad and stepmom say that same thing. And their answer always is, they got two living parents.
That's right. These young people today, for some reason, so many of them think nothing of just dropping the kids off the grandparents and disappearing.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard. I've got a dear friend, a lady that's a dear friend of ours that is raising four of her grandchildren right now.
It's
got to
be tough.
It's tough, and she has a very job with a lot of responsibility at her job, and she's my age. I mean, she's no spring chicken, and it's very, very difficult.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Anyway, you know, those are, I just think though we have to get more involved as people and caring for people and just get more involved in our communities with everything about them. There's a lot of ways we can do it. Church is huge. I mean, it really is. Bringing your kids to church, starting them into that, just getting involved and doing things and just doing productive things. Like right now, for instance, excuse me. Allergies are driving me crazy, Terry. today at the church, we're redoing a library. And I had two little girls there today that one of them happened to be my granddaughter and a good friend of hers today. They, another little girl in the church, and they were been working in the library for 2 days. And they're just having a ball, sorting books and doing stuff. And It gets them involved and feeling like they're doing something. excuse me. But, I mean, even 4-H is something that's going on right now that so many kids get involved in with other parents and other families, and there's so many good things out there that we can get involved in and we can do and not and care about the world that we live in and the people around it. Do you ever notice that it seems like everybody wants to kind of keep to themselves, like they're afraid of getting involved or knowing a neighbor? I just had a conversation a couple hours ago with a guy that was saying that, you know, he had bought a place and moved there, and they'd resided and put windows in, and they've been there for 2 years. And their neighbors across the street, he waves at them and stuff, but they've never introduced themselves, or, you know, it's just been kind of a, you know, heaven forbid I get to know you. You might borrow a cup of sugar. But, you know, we seem to be that way in this generation. And it's not going to help us. It's only going to hurt us. And it's keeping us at odds and distance with each other. But no one wants to seem to get have the involvement that they once had. Even our boards are... you used to even watch on the television shows. It was interesting. You know, whether it be a school board or some kind of a board meeting here or there, you'd see people come and sit in the meetings, and there'd be open discussion about things. And even in our boards now, somebody wants to have a discussion, you're allowed 2 minutes, you're cut off, you're done. And nothing else is discussed. And it's like just it's a way to keep everybody in their place. And it's almost like in a lot of ways you don't even have a say-so anymore about so many things that people just want to give up. But I think that we really need to take back our communities and take back, dare I say, even some of our education. We've let things get a little too far. I know that teachers are between a rock and a hard place because they're there to educate, but there's so many parents that aren't taking care of the other needs with their children that many of the teachers have to take care of those needs before the kids can even learn, and that shouldn't be the teacher's job. However, when you do have a parent or you have a family that is meeting those needs with their children, all that teacher should be doing for that child is educating them. We need to take the social engineering off the table, which our state and national boards have been so into in the last 20, 30, 40 years, is feeling they need to social engineer our young people and not just educate them. You know, I want my children to learn the A's, the ABCs. I want them to learn mathematics, science, all those things, but leave the social work to mom and dad, unless by chance mom and dad aren't doing it, and if you have to intervene, you intervene, or direct them to a place to do so. But it's not the school's job to mold the ideology of my children. That is our job, to help them mold an ideology that we believe within our family and see fit. And that's something more parents, I think, need to get really involved and deal with, because we're raising a lot of kids that really struggle with a lot of hope today. There was something today that I happened to put out on social media because I thought it was great, and I copied it and I sent it out, and if I can find it here, I'd really like to read it today. And real quickly, I'm sure I can find it. Oh, real quick here. Sorry about this. You know, I as much time as I spend on here, sometimes you would think that I'd be better at it, but that's just not my. Here we go. Let me turn it down. I'll read it. There we go. Okay, it's going to take a second because it moves slow. But it says, Billy Graham's daughter, you know her, she's been battling cancer horribly. But anyway, Billy Graham's daughter was interviewed on The Early Show with Jane Clayson, asked her, how could God let something like this happen regarding Hurricane Katrina? Ann Graham gave an extremely profound and insightful response. She said, I believe God is deeply saddened by this, just as we are. But for years we've been telling God to get out of our schools, to get out of our government, and to get out of our lives. And being the gentleman that he is, I believe he has calmly backed out. How can we expect God to give us his blessing and his protection if we demand he leave us alone? In light of recent events, terrorist attack, school shootings, etc., I think it started when Madeline Marie O'Hare, of course she was murdered and her body found a few years ago, complained that she didn't want prayer in our schools, and we said, okay. Then someone said, you better not read the Bible in school. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and love your neighbor as yourself. We said, okay. Then Dr. Benjamin Spock said, we shouldn't spank our children when they misbehave because their little personalities would be warped and we might damage their self-esteem. Interestingly enough, Dr. Spock's son committed suicide. We said an expert should know what he's talking about, and we said, okay. Now we're asking ourselves, why our children have no conscience? Why they don't know right from wrong? Why doesn't it bother them to kill strangers, their classmates, and even themselves? Probably if we think about it long and hard enough, we can figure it out. I think it has a great deal to do with we reap what we sow. Funny how simple it is for people to trash God and then wonder why the world's going to hell. Funny how we believe what the newspapers say but question what the Bible says. Funny how you can send jokes through email and they spread like wildfire. But when you start sending messages regarding the Lord, people think twice about sharing. Funny how lewd, crude, vulgar, and obscene articles pass freely through cyberspace. But public discussion of God is suppressed in the school and workplace. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Then it says, are you laughing yet? Funny how when you forward this message, you will not send it to many of your on your address list because you're not sure what they believe or what they think of you sending it. Isn't that interesting? Funny how we can be more worried about what other people think of us than what God thinks of us. And you know, that really strikes me because it's true. And we do. We worry about what other people think of us than what God does. And even when it said that about, you know, do I send this on to people I know or am I afraid what this one believes or that believes? You know, excuse me, whatever happened to real conviction in our lives? You know, if I really believe something, should I really care that you might be offended by what I believe? I mean, if I believe it that strongly, shouldn't I be willing to say it, whether you're going to agree with it or not? I mean, if you do, you do, and if you don't, you don't. I'm not going to hold it against you for believing it or not. But why shouldn't I be free to share what I believe and take it as you will? And people are afraid of that. Oh, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. You know, I don't want someone to think I'm one of those crazy church people. And church people aren't crazy. You know, I stand very firmly when I say the more we've taken God and Christ, Jesus Christ, out of our public forum, our society's gotten worse and worse and worse. I mean, we didn't have gun violence when I was a kid. And there was twice as many guns in homes when I was a kid as there are now. No one shot anyone in schools. It just didn't happen. No one even thought about it. Matter of fact, all of us guys had shotguns in our cars. I mean, we'd go hunting after school. It was no big deal. But nobody even thought about why would someone shoot somebody? Well, today, you've got it happening right and left with less guns than we've ever had. And I don't understand that. And they take guns away. I was seeing something the other day. I was reading something about the knife violence in China and Europe, where they've limited the guns. It's just skyrocketed. You know what people and the point is, I'm not going to talk about guns. So that's my point here. My point here is, what has happened to a society that sees no value in life? They see no value in life. They don't listen to, you know, God is the one that teaches us value in life. The Bible teaches us value in life. And when we take that away, you know, the value in life just seems to go out the window. It's all about instant gratification today and what can I have right now? And I want it right now. And beyond that, people don't really seem to care that much. I find it very disheartening when I see people that are so excited about just throwing everything out there into their careers and what I can grab and what I can have. We're living so much in the moment. It's unbelievable. I was talking to a young man the other day who has a really, really good job just out of school. I mean, really good job. And he's making great money, one of those high-paying factory jobs we were talking about. And he was sharing how first thing he did was go out and buy a $60,000 truck. I thought, are you kidding me? You're not married. You already have a car. How about putting that money away? How about sitting on it? How about building a nest egg? How about making something for later? And we seem to do that. And I think that one of the problems, I'm going to throw something out there that someone doesn't usually mention, when it comes to going to church, when it comes to giving your life to Christ, when it comes to living for God, one of the reasons I don't think that it's as appealing as it used to be is because there's no instant gratification. God promises us a future with Him as we live for Him. But what it can be instant is the peace, the joy, and the satisfaction of living for Him. Now, that's pretty instant. And the more that you depend on Him and trust Him, the greater that is. But people want something, you know, what's church going to do for me? You know, what's church going to do? You know, if I can go in there, you tell me I'm put $100 in a plate, and next week I'm going to get a raise at my, you know, it's just that kind of thing. And that's not what it's about either. First of all, we don't give to the church to get back. We give to the church because God says we're to support it. And that God says that, you know, He's the giver of life and everything else. I think we should honor God with, He says, with our first fruits. That means the first of everything. The first of our time, the first of our money. But we've gotten in such a habit of giving God our leftovers. And then we wonder why we get His leftovers. You know, we want the prime rib, but we've been given God a half-eaten sandwich. You know what I'm saying? And it just doesn't make sense. We become a taker society. Everybody wants to take, but very few want to give. Now, it's wonderful there are those out there that really do give and want to give. And, you know, they really need to be celebrated. People that are out helping people that are in need, doing things for what they call in the world today the greater good. You know, those are wonderful things that people do. And that needs to be promoted more than not. I told my wife this morning, we had the news on, or she had the news on, I certainly didn't. I get it off anymore, I just grab a piece of it and go. But I told her, I said, you know, they were talking about campaign season starting. And I said, you know, we're going to have to get our news somewhere else because I am not going to listen to this stuff for the next 12 months. I'm just not going to do it, you know, or 12 months plus. I said, you know, it's going to be in between the television commercials. It's going to be everywhere. It's going to be not, and I can't deal with it anymore. It just, why is it, Terry, that we've ended up in a society that it's okay to lie? And we just throw them up in the air and see who's going to believe it. And it's not okay to lie. It's never been okay to lie. And it's like, but I think that people have come across, they finally realize, and that they've come to this conclusion that if you repeat it long enough, people will believe it as the truth, even though you know it to be a lie. And I'll give you a really good example, a really good example. Now, I'm not here to argue the finer points of global warming, but I am going to say there are some real alarmists out there that have gone a little overboard. A couple years ago, if you would go to Glacier National Park, they had signs up that said, please take photos now, because by 2020, these glaciers will be melted.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was put up by the National Park Service. Okay. Please take all the photos you can now, because in 2020, due to global warming, these glaciers probably won't be here. Well, it's 2019 and a half, and most of the glaciers have grown. They haven't shrunk. Mm-hmm. So, my point being, But if you talk to most people and you say, hey, man, what's going on with the glaciers? Man, they're melting. They're gone. And you know, that's the whole point, because they've heard it over and over and over and over, and they buy into it. And, you know, we weren't even supposed to be here right now, if you listen to some people. And on the other side of things, I know a guy, I know an evangelist from back in the 80s that said we weren't going to be here by 1985. You know what I mean? And look at all the people that said that we weren't going to survive the year 2000, that everything was just going to go haywire. Remember all the computers were going to go down? Remember all the people that stocked up on water and all that crazy stuff? We believe that, but we're not going to believe the Bible and trust it and follow it, but we'll believe some crazy, what do you call them, doomsday conspiracists? There's a lot of them out there. We hear one all the time, don't we?
Yeah.
And they're out there. But you know, we there's no doomsday if you believe in Jesus Christ. And but you're not going to have a doomsday. And you trust him. And that's what I want to encourage people to do. I don't know if this earth's going to be around in 10 years or 20 years or 100 years or 1,000 years. I know that what I'm here to do never stops. And that is to love other people more than I love myself. Put them first. Love Christ more than I love myself or people. And to share the wonderful message of his love and salvation with everyone. And that's what I'm supposed to do. And that's what I'm going to continue to do. And I think that's a lot better message than spreading the doomsday and the hate and the division and all the things that are out there. But the hard thing is, Terry, is that when you look at what's going on in the world, it opens your eyes and you realize that most people aren't seeing the gravity of things we need to address and get to. A man said to me today, he said, hey, he goes, I hear they're starting to persecute Christians now. And I said, where you been? Where you been?
He's only what?
They've been killing them by the thousands in Africa for the last 10 years. And there's still, I mean, the persecution in China and Africa and the different African nations, Nigeria. Boko Haram has been going in and raiding villages and murdering Christians, right? And this has been going on. The point is, you don't see it. Why don't you see it? Because the news, for some reason, doesn't feel that it's newsworthy. And that's my point. You have to be willing to get yourself plugged in and know what's going on, because you're not going to get it from the people you think you should be getting it from, because they have their own agendas. Why, what their agendas are, and for sure, I don't know to be exact, but for some reason, they have certain things they report on, and other things they don't. And the persecution of Christians is one that is not at the top of their list. And so I don't know. I think that we need to educate ourselves. You want to hear about what's going on in the world and know the truth, go to church. I mean, I don't get political in church, don't get me wrong. I talk about the Word of God, but I am going to bring up things that need prayer, obviously, like what we just mentioned. those are important things, and people need to know what's going on with those. So enlighten me, Terry. Where am I going wrong here?
No, I think you're spot on there with what you're saying there. I think it's just a matter of, you know, getting people to actually, you know, to actually do it.
You know what?
That's just the missing part of the whole puzzle. I mean, you know,
there was a little Christian folk song that we used to sing in youth group growing up. I think I've mentioned it on here before. It's I forget the name of the song, but the chorus was kind of like this. It only takes a spark to get a fire glowing. And soon all those around can warm up to its glowing. That how is it is with God's love once you experienced it. I want to share his love with you. I want to pass it on. And, you know, that thought in this whole thing is, who's the next spark? Are you willing to be a spark? You know, see, that's what it takes. It takes that spark. It takes that person to speak up and say, hey, I'll stick my neck out. And most people don't want to. But anything that ever start, any good thing that has ever started and ever happened has began with someone that was willing to stick their neck out. From the founding of our country to the freedom of our slaves to the anything you want to think about. Any good movement that's ever started has happened with somebody saying, hey, I got an idea. Let's go help fix this. And they stick their neck out. Now, here's the thing about that. A lot of times when you're willing to stick your neck out and you're going to be that trailblazer, so to speak, you may end up getting your neck stepped on. But you have to be willing to do that because you got to realize that what you're doing is far greater than what the repercussions on you personally might be. Now, see, I trust God that He's got me. Now, does that mean that someday my faith wouldn't get me in a lot of trouble? It could. I mean, I think we're heading that way as a country if people don't really step up and start saying, "Stop it, enough's enough," because the Christian message is not well accepted, certainly in our media today. And not being accepted in our media, I mean, as the media goes, unfortunately, so goes the country many times. You know, like I said, you tell a lie long enough and it becomes the truth. If you diss people long enough, a particular people are going to start believing it. And so, you know, the day could come when as a pastor I could be under persecution in this country. It's happening in the rest of the world. And the point is, if that happens, so be it. I've made my choice. I've made my bed. I'm not going to change. You know, that isn't going to happen, no matter how hard they push or what they do. But the point is, you have to be willing to be that person. It's the only way anything good ever happens. It's kind of real interesting, you know. One of these times on a show, I want to talk in depth about the Firelands. Do you know what the Firelands were? Do you ever hear that statement? If you go up north, run up 23, about the time you get to, where's the racetrack up there before you get to?
Attica?
Yeah, up in there. It says Fireland. You're entering the Firelands. Okay. And what the Firelands were is land that the federal government designated to give people from the East Coast, primarily in the Boston area, as free land for them to come and settle. And the reason they were called Firelands is because in the Presbyterian Church during the time of the Revolution, the Presbyterian pastors stood up and in many cases spearheaded a lot of the resistance to England. And they let soldiers be trained in their churches. They let munitions be stored. They let they did every aspect you can imagine. Matter of fact, a lot of the pastors even marched off to war. And because and when England came through, what they did was they were so angry at these churches for doing that, they burnt them all down. And so our government, once we formed and had a government, they came in and said, well, as payment to those people that lost their homes and their churches because of what they did, we're going to give them land in other parts of our undeveloped territory, and they will be called the Firelands. So that is where that comes from. And then there was a time when you had like the in Green Camp, the Virginia Company was up in there. That was all before, you know, that was all right after that time. And the Green Camp was put there to manage Firelands. And so it's kind of interesting. But what I'm getting at is those people stuck their neck out. And you and I are sitting here today on the radio partly because they did. And pastors sometimes have to stick their neck out when it's right, and other people do. And I encourage you to stick your neck out, because even if you're going to be persecuted from it, knowing you're doing the right thing and something for a good cause and the cause of God and Christ, I mean, it's so satisfying, it's unbelievable. I don't need to get money out of it or be held up. I don't even need people to know I'm doing it. I don't need, you know what I mean? It's just, it's between you and God. God, I'm doing this. This is what I need to be doing. And I think when we do that in our lives, we find such great satisfaction. So the couple minutes I have left, I want to say this. Look, if you're in a neighborhood and you see kids that are struggling, having trouble, think of a way that you can help. I know in our neighborhood, we've got a free meal every day at the church for kids from 11:30 to 12:30. Right there on Prospect of the church, Community Christian Fellowship. Bring your kids down. Round those kids up that somebody's not feeding and bring them down. Get permission. Bring them down. Let them eat. They'll eat free every day except Fridays. But, you know, bring them down. Elderly people, bring them down. You know, these are things we can do. That's sticking your neck out for the greater good. You know, help somebody that may need help. Reach out to those. You know, be that person that's going to spearhead something good and watch how it spreads, because it only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up to its glowing. Hey guys, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker. I've enjoyed the evening. Sorry about the coughing here and there. I am battling allergies horribly, and they got my throat. But anyway, I'd love to have you come to Community Christian Fellowship. We're at 209 East Water Street. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school hour or Bible study time, 10:30 for our worship hour. We have Sunday evening Bible study. Our youth group is off for the month of June. They'll be back in July. We got a lot going on. Like I said, the kids' meals going on. We've got a work day coming up for a whole church for the week. It's actually a work week. We'll be out in the community working. And just so much going on. We got Bible school coming up in Prospect soon. You might want to get registered for that. So contact us anytime. Our number is 740-494-2222. And we are at prospectccf.com. We good, Terry? 1 minute? Mm-hmm. 1 minute left. Hey, let's close tonight in a word of prayer. Let me just say, have a prayer for the audience out there. Gracious Heavenly Father, we lift this whole audience to you up tonight. Lord, there's people that need to make changes in their lives. I pray that you touch them now and they not be afraid to make those changes. Lord, that we would reach out and do what's better for you, for our community, and put others before ourselves. And Lord, I pray that you be with the leaders of this station, and that they would do the right thing and keep them healthy and safe. And thank you for this program that you provided. And Lord, we ask for its continued support. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker. Have a good one, and I'll talk to you soon.
Good night, everybody.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.